Here we go.
It's a little pocket awareness. It's another episode. We are back. It is Super Bowl week. Super Bowl week. We are here. It is going to be a great Super Bowl we got coming up. We got Bucks versus Chiefs. But first things first, you know, make sure you hit the subscribe button in iTunes. Hit the subscribe, a little pocket awareness. Hit download in Spotify. A little pocket awareness. Hit that right there. Go to Twitter, ALPA_QB1. On Twitter, same thing on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Go ahead, follow us on Instagram as well. Go ahead, follow us on Facebook too. Hit that like button, a little pocket awareness for Facebook. Go ahead, follow us there. And then, like I always say, follow me and Chris on Twitter as well at the Mark John NFL and at King Manels. All right. Chris.
So smooth, man. It's been like you've been working on that for a few years now.
Right. I got to memorize, bro. All right, so it's not the greatest week for you, Chris. I mean, you're not your Packers took the L.
I took a week off, Marcus. I took a week off. I was very I sat back and just took it all in, and my feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
But you know, this is football.
Yeah, it's football, bro.
This is football. Aaron Rodgers now joins Donovan McNabb as the only two in the NFC to lose four NFC championship games. I think it's just Jim Kelly on the other side that's got his four. No, those are Super Bowl losses. Those are Super Bowl. He's not even in this group. So yeah, it's just Rodgers. It's just Rodgers and McNabb. It's not just NFC. It's any championship game. Yeah, the only two that have lost four of them.
We'll get into that, Chris. We'll get into that later. We got a cool Super Bowl though. I like the Super Bowl. Bucks versus Chiefs. It's gonna be an interesting matchup. Good defense versus a great offense, and you know, a team with Tom Brady that you know.
You can't bet against Tom, but
doing the one thing
that no team has ever done before, taking his team to the Super Bowl that they're hosting. Are you kidding me?
We'll get into that. We're going to get into all that. We're going to save it for later, Chris. We'll save it for later. But we got some bigger news to talk about that is recent, you know.
Yes.
The Matthew Stafford trade. Ooh, that was interesting.
Not even calling it the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trade. Oh, it's just the Matthew Stafford trade.
I mean, well, it was for Stafford. Goff was just part of it.
There's a lot of Goff slander out there.
I guess you could say it's a Stafford for Goff trade, but it really was a Stafford trade. Stafford offered himself and somebody went and got him. And then, of course, the Senior Bowl happened. We had a Senior Bowl week for the draft process is starting. You know, we'll talk Senior Bowl quarterbacks. It was interesting, but we'll talk about them. And then, of course, we'll recap, going everything into the Super Bowl, how we got there, everything that happened, how we got these two teams, and our preview. So, Chris, let's just get into it. Let's not beat around the bush here. We had a big trade. Matthew Stafford said, I wanted to leave Detroit. I want to go to L.A., and they appeased.
For the first time in the organization's history, because they sure as hell didn't do it for Barry Sanders.
I know.
And they sure as hell didn't do it for Calvin Johnson.
Ruined two Hall of Famers for us, man. Calvin should be still
ruined.
Come on, bro. Like, I don't know why.
Ruined them.
Man.
Those are two careers cut short that were just unbelievable players that we Detroit wouldn't let us have more of them.
I know.
But they're going to let this happen with Matthew.
Yeah, but Stafford, he's out of there. He is headed to L.A. with Sean McVay. Sean McVay's got a new driver for his Ferrari, his offensive Ferrari he's got going over there. He's got a new guy coming over there.
Did you hear what happened?
What happened?
McVay in Cabo with his fiance. And you know who also happened to be in Cabo at the same time? Matthew Stafford was in Cabo.
It's interesting. Oh, a little tampering, huh?
Interesting. I think they had dinner after the trade was announced.
Like they knew to call
in Cabo. In Cabo, they had dinner when the trade was announced. Interesting.
See, you know, I find that trade interesting. I mean, because let's talk about what happened with the trade. So we got two first round picks, but they're not this year; they're future.
Yes. Okay.
They're future and why first is round that? Picks.
Why are they future first round picks?
Because
Marcus?
Jared Goff still owed about what $53K. I saw about that. Let me look this
well,
up.
Well, it's also they don't have this year. They don't have a first round pick this year to even give them.
But the main thing here is that they had to get rid of the Goff's contract. I think that's the main part of the trade. Let's talk about that. We'll get to that. But let's stick to the Stafford side first. We'll get to the Goff side.
Okay.
You know, it's two first, future first. Okay. Right, and a third round pick this year, and Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. Now, Chris, I just want you to think about all that capital that went for Matthew Stafford, and let's talk about it. What do you think?
I think nobody's getting Deshaun Watson because it's going to cost them 6 years of draft picks.
Oh man,
I mean,
you know, it's funny. Like, you know, like, I'm thinking about on this show. Go ahead.
All the other teams that were a part of this were offering a first round pick this year and either a late pick, just one other pick. Like, we weren't talking about multiple firsts for Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting
from all these other organizations that were involved in it.
One of the most interesting things I've found about it. Is that how the AFC teams are kind of like, you know, the AFC teams are just a little bit.
You want how much?
It was like, I mean, can he beat Josh Allen even? It was kind of like that reluctance because the Colts needed him though, right? I really think the Colts were like, yeah, that would have been a way better fit.
He don't beat anybody over 500. Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I was surprised Detroit sent him in the NFC. I thought for sure he would be an AFC player.
Yeah.
And the Colts were the place that I thought he was 100% going to end up. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I think the Rams was a shock. But, you know, reading the stories, I mean, reading Albert Breer's article, McVay really, really wanted Stafford. Like, he approved for the trade capital. He really thought that he would open up his offense. Him and Jared Goff didn't like each other. I don't know if you know, we'll get to the Goff side in a second, but
they had a
falling out there, and you know, Stafford is going there, and it's just interesting the way to me when people talk about Matthew Stafford. I just don't know if this is a for sure Super Bowl move. Like, do they have a better quarterback? Yes. Is it a for sure Super Bowl move? Like, we've never seen Matthew Stafford like rise to the occasion and just have these
in a playoff game,
in any game. What is a Matthew Stafford moment? The most Matthew Stafford moment. And I hate to be this type of guy because, you know, I'm a big quarterbacks are themselves, you know, but like, I just think the talk about him, like they're going to win a Super Bowl, is just kind of crazy after 12 years. I mean, I could see like year eight, maybe you could convince yourself, but year 12 is just, that's just the talk around him. Like, he's a good quarterback. You know, I defend him a lot. It's just, man, I mean, it's an upgrade, but like, I mean, is it like Super Bowl upgrade? No, it's like, I mean, you're probably gonna get to the same spot upgrade to me. Like, it's just gonna look better. I guess it's kind of like when you go from like Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford, it's more about look and appeal for like your appeasing of watching quarterback play. Yeah, it's gonna look better. It's good. Matthew Stafford's gonna have some crazy throws. They're probably gonna be on TV more, so it's gonna be like more highlights, more sidearm, no looks. It's gonna be on TV because they're in LA and all that stuff. But also the overthrows are gonna be on LA too. That overthrow that we all know is coming back. The bad throw, miss. That's gonna be in LA too. So I think that's. He asked for this, I think. Like, he wants to be able to prove himself that that it's not Detroit. So he wanted to go to LA and go with Sean McVay. And he has a lot of pressure on himself to me. I think you're putting a lot of pressure, dog. And hopefully you don't go out there and, you know, Kirk Cousins is in the same position. Kirk Cousins, I feel about Kirk Cousins. You know, I think he's a good quarterback. And he was,
you know, Washington. How I feel about Kirk Cousins.
We know how you feel about Kirk Cousins too. But he was a good quarterback in Washington. And everybody, remember, he's free agent, Kirk Cousins. He got like, he fleeced the NFL for $30 million. And I mean, he's
guaranteed.
He got a full guaranteed contract. And has the Vikings offense looked better? Yes. The results, though, aren't the greatest. So, like, you know, but so it's more about look to me, like, and I'm sure, you know, we'll get, now let's talk about Goff a little bit, like, you know, but that's just my thoughts. Well, what are your thoughts on Stafford, Chris? I mean, let's get your thoughts too on Matthew Stafford.
I mean, is what it really comes down to. Like, everybody is in love with Matthew Stafford at this point, but I mean, he's been in my division for years now. Mm-hmm. He hasn't, like, everybody loves Kenny Golladay. Everybody loves Marvin Jones Jr. You can't say he didn't have weapons. He had Eric Ebron. It's not like he didn't have people that were around him that weren't, like, he wasn't playing with total garbage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've watched this guy for his entire career two times a season, and is he – he's enough of a I mean, yeah, Calvin Johnson too. So, like, it's not like he doesn't know how to throw to big time guys.
Yeah.
But they never won. They never did anything. So it's a big it's a mortgage their future. They're on this train. And the guy could be done next year. I don't like how much LA gave up for him. I feel about the same about LA when they have to come back through Lambeau in the playoffs next year.
Is what I'm saying. Like, is he going to beat Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau?
This doesn't
That's why the AFC teams were like, whoa, the needle for me. The Broncos were like, okay, let's pick swap. We can swap picks, but come on, bro.
Yeah.
To beat Mahomes?
Yeah, I can't believe they gave up as much as they did. I can't believe they did that.
It's just a lot for average quarterback. Because it's not like he's elite. Like, for if Matthew Stafford,
top 10 guy. I'm sorry.
He's never had an elite season to me. Like, he's never had like a season where he's like elite. And like, people are like, where he threw for 5,000 yards. I'm like, he threw the ball 660 times. And then the next year, he threw the ball 727 times. So he's actually, to me, he underperformed with how many times he threw the football. So it's like some of these things is like that we talk about with him is like, bro. Is he above average? Yeah. Is he a Super Bowl, like, automatically? And then we don't know what their defense is going to look like. Are they going to be as good? Brandon Staley's gone. Are they going to be as good this year as they were last year? You know, we don't know those things. So those things, are, especially
they defense. Can't keep, like, they're losing their best safety.
you know
what I mean? Like, they're going to be losing pieces. Like, the money that they're going to have to dump in, because he's going to cost an arm and a leg. Too, you're not bringing over some little contract.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty sure what's left on his deal is more expensive than what Goff was. So it's a little bit of mind numbing to me. The offensive line, I don't see a big difference between Detroit's offensive line and LA's offensive line. That's me. I mean, you got an aging left tackle who might not even come back next year.
Yeah, they're saying he's coming back.
Like Rick Wagner was their guy the year before. My head hurts on this one, Marcus.
The contract, I'll talk about the contract. I mean, Stafford's only has $43 million left in the next 2 years. He's not that bad. Goff is a lot more, but I mean, they're the ones who watch Goff miss Brandon Cooks wide open in the end zone. And they said, let's give him $134 million. So I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, you saw the last six games of 2018. You guys saw it. Your offense wasn't the same as it was for the first year and a half. McVay was just killing everybody. They caught up to you. The Bears came, and you guys got shut down against the Bears, and he threw picks everywhere. And then he didn't play well for the rest of this. They lost to the Eagles, you know, and he threw picks everywhere. Like, you gave him money. So, like, I don't – It's weird. It's weird. Like, everybody, to me, like, Sean McVay, too, has a lot to do with this. Because, like, you gave him money. And now you're dumping everything to go get Matthew Stafford. Like, you're not getting, like, this is not Deshaun Watson. This is Matthew Stafford. So, sure, as I'm saying, sure, he's going to come in there. Matthew Stafford's going to have some great games, but he's going to have some duds, too. And then he might have a dud when you really need him to be have a dud. Like, it's going to be him versus Russell Wilson for the division. Are you sure that Matthew Stafford's going to go up there and take out Russell Wilson for the division? Like, and a lot of these things are, you know, people don't like, you know, we talk about quarterback stats and all that stuff and, you know, how we should judge quarterbacks. But I think some of that, there's something to it, right? You want Matthew Stafford to go out there and it's a big game and perform well against a team that you know is going to make the playoffs. Because basically by his track record, that's two losses. The Seahawks are two losses. That's his track record. That's it. Right? Am I wrong?
I'm watching you're not wrong. And I'm thinking about the throw, just the way the dynamics of those offenses are from just like, I didn't go back and break down the film, but just from a gut feeling, Matthew Stafford operates in that 10 to 25 yard zone. And Jared Goff in the LA Rams offense operated in that line of scrimmage to maybe 15 yards down the field zone. I just don't. Matthew Stafford's never been good in the middle of the field in the intermediate. Like he's a big arm. He always has been.
So McVay said that.
He wants to open it up.
He wants to open it up. So that's why he's getting Stafford, because he wants to open it up.
Can his receivers even run those opened up routes? Like, I don't know. Like these guys live inside 5 yards, crossing routes and pick plays. So I don't know.
All right, let's get to the Goff side of this. So Jared Goff, he's going.
I don't get it, man.
I don't get it either, bro. Trust me, I don't get it.
Poor Jared Goff. You're an LA man. You got paid. You're $100 million quarterback. Now you gotta go to Detroit, and you're gonna be there for two seasons tops before they get rid of you, because you're not biting kneecaps. You're not a biting kneecaps kind of guy.
See, I think the key thing about the Detroit trade is that they wanted him, and I think nobody's really trying to talk about that. They wanted Jared. I don't think they're gonna draft a quarterback now. I think that they wanted Jared Goff. They think that with the offense,
They're not drafting a quarterback this year.
They think that they're gonna pound the rock. They're gonna come out there pound the rock with Frank Ragnow in the center and Anthony Lynn, and they got DeAndre Swift. We got some good running backs. We got Kenny Golladay. We could throw deep ball play action. And Goff does have a pretty good deep ball, and I think they think they can win with Jared Goff. I seriously believe that.
I'm really interested to see what happens, because they don't like Golladay and Jones are not under contract.
No, Golladay is. Do you
think they let them both walk?
I don't know if they let them both walk.
I thought Golladay wasn't under contract either.
He's still a rookie. He's still on a rookie contract.
Fifth year option. He wasn't a first round pick though.
Oh, he is. He is a free agent too. You're right.
I think he's gone, man. I'm pretty sure he's gone.
They're franchise tagging.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the Lions. Do you think they're going to give him that much money? They got all that dead cap money.
Kenny Golladay, bro.
They got all that dead money sitting there.
Kenny Golladay is a piece.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think they're more likely to draft a wide receiver, one of these wide receivers with their early pick. So
that's what I'm saying. Cause
they bring in a rookie to fill out that wide receiver spot.
Yeah. Cause there's so many wide receivers too. So like, you know, if you let Kenny Golladay tell you to go, he's going to go to a good team. Like he's gonna like the Packers might go pick him up. You're like, this is our piece. And they bring in Kenny Golladay, and then the Lions are like, oh, we're idiots. Like, don't let Kenny Golladay walk. That's the point of the franchise tag. You don't let you keep the guy until you can,
don't let a guy like that go.
so you guys can talk it out a little bit more. Let's, hey man, you know, we want you, but that what you want is a little too high. We're gonna keep you here at like this amount so we can talk it out. That's the whole point of it, bro. Like, you ain't kidding. You let Jones go and you re-sign Galladay. That's what you do. I mean, sounds pretty simple to me.
Okay. All right.
But yes, what I'm saying. That's what I think their plan is. Their plan is that they're gonna run the football and they're gonna play good defense. They're gonna be tough team. And Jared Goff's not gonna have to do everything.
A blue collar team. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it is kind of, that's what I'm saying. Like, they gave that dude so much money, and we talked about it. We all saw it. We saw it early, and they gave him money. Like, he has nobody to put the blame but himself. That's why, like, Sean McVay, like, the whole genius thing that he thinks, he's starting to really remind me of John Gruden. Like, I cover John Gruden a lot, and the similarities are just striking. And he's a Gruden disciple too. It's not like it's a thing. It's like he's a damn Gruden disciple. And a lot of the things he did, like paying Jared Goff, is something that Gruden would do after he would took me to the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. I'm paying him. It's come on. I'm Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I'm Sean McVay. And then you ain't wrong. Because right now, that's what he's blaming. He's blaming Jared for his offense not working. He's not saying, he's like, no, Jared is the reason why offense didn't work. Nobody else. Wasn't me. My play calls are great.
You ain't wrong.
That's what he's doing right now.
You are not wrong.
That is exactly what he's doing. He's like,
that's what he's doing.
So I'm going to bring in somebody who could run my plays. Because I'm the greatest offensive mind in the world. That's just some of the stuff I was reading, man. I was like, man, you are. I bet you. I guess they had some like 4-hour argument. I don't know if you read about that. Goff and McVay had like a 4-hour
I did
in the meeting, and I was like, man, I wonder like the ego that was just like he was showing him every deep crosser he missed. He's like, hey, oh really, let's put up the tape. He was just look at this one, Jared.
Yeah.
That's me. Is that you or me? Because I called a great call there. Oh, yeah. So I can see that, bro. I can see that happening. But Jared's getting another shot, man. Let's see what you got, Jared. Are you? I mean, were you all Sean McVay? I mean, that's probably what he wants to prove. He was like, I'm not Sean McVay, but I think Sean McVay's got a little bit. He's got to dig a little deeper.
He gets to beat up.
Sorry,
he gets to beat up on the Lions, and he gets to beat up on the Vikings, and he gets to beat up on the Bears. So,
yeah,
good luck to Jared Goff.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he saves Detroit, bro. Maybe. I mean, number one pick in the draft, bro. He's got talent.
It's definitely a better place to be than to be in the NFC West. That's for sure.
He does have that elongated throwing motion.
There's a lot of fighting there.
He's got that long throwing motion, bro.
It's gonna be interesting.
We're gonna see. All right, let's keep it moving here a little bit. What else we got here? We got Senior Bowl went by. Senior Bowl game practice.
Give it to us, Marcus. Give it to us, Scout. Give it to us, Mr. Scout.
Is there really anything they give it to though? I mean, the quarterbacks are very underwhelming. This is gonna be quick. I mean, there's nobody there. There's nobody there that was really good. Mac Jones is good, but I mean, Mac Jones is just the guy. Like, I mean, is he a good quarterback? Like, yeah, he plays quarterback, but is he a NFL quarterback? It's hard for me. It's hard for me to just straight up say that could he be like a Kirk Cousins? Yeah, for sure. I think he could probably do, like, he's smart enough. He picks up offense pretty quick. He ran the Alabama offense pretty, very fluid. So, but I practice, I mean, they were just checking down like crazy, bro. Like, this is like, why are you guys checking down? And then he would miss some reads in practice. Like, and then he would check it down. And I was like, bro, like, why? This is practice, man. Like, I know somebody's about to hit you. You ain't got to check it down. They can't hit you. They're not allowed to.
I think it's all about they can't make mistakes, Marcus. You can't make mistakes in an environment like that.
Yeah,
especially when you're not Trevor Lawrence. You're not Justin Fields. Like you're projected at best to go in the back half of the first round. So you can't make any mistakes.
But come on, bro. Like you gotta let it rip, man. They all were doing that though. They all were checking it down like crazy. It was annoying me. So it was like hard to evaluate because oh my God, you checked it down again. They just kept checking it down. Like every single quarterback, like Felipe Franks checking it down. And then Sam Ehlinger was checking it down. Only guy who was throwing downfield with reckless abandon was Kellen Mond. He had some crazy throws, but then he had some stupid throws. But at least I appreciated him actually trying to impress the scouts instead of trying to impress the coaches. Because that's what I feel like Mac Jones was. Like the Panthers aren't drafting you, bro. Like you ain't got to impress the rule, when the pressure's coming, should you check it down, Mac? Yes. But come on, bro. You are for the scouts, Mac. Everybody says you don't have an arm. You cannot be checking down at a tryout because they're going to be like, oh.
He's going to save it for his pro day.
Oh, come on, bro. Like, nah. Like he had like a crosser to Kadarius Toney like that he could have just stepped up and just hit him. And he did it. He checked it down instead. And like in a game, I would have expected the check down because the pressure was coming and he probably wouldn't have been able to step into it like he really wanted to in a game. I feel that. I feel it. Come on, bro. This is your tryout, dog. This is a tryout. I need you to step up and sling that boy. You know what I mean? Like I can't. Don't do the right thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he has some good throws. Like, he has some really, really good throws. Like, some really, really good, like, some dimes where he was playing really well, especially in the red zone portion. He played really well because he's accurate. He's an accurate guy. But, you know, the other quarterbacks are just, you know, Jamie Newman looked really bad. He can't process. He had like a four verts look. And he had the right side wasn't open. And then he did a good job holding the safety and coming back to the left side. But then he hits three times. Like, bro, he's wide open. Why
let the safety recover. Let the safety recover.
Why are you hitching? Stop hitching. Anyway, they were frustrated to watch. They were frustrated. It was really frustrating. But Mac Jones was the best one there, as he should have been. But I really, really wanted to see Kyle Trask. I was really disappointed. I watched Kyle Trask this weekend, and I was shockingly impressed. And I didn't know how to feel about it. I still don't know how I feel how impressed I was. I still don't know how to feel about it. Like I feel like I'm looking at the wrong thing, and I don't know how to evaluate. But I just those deep balls, they're just too on point. He's the ugliest throwing motion. It's just ugly. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wanted to see somebody like him because I know he would have just let it loose up there. Like, there would have been no check downs. He does pretty well in the Florida offense. But, you know, I really would have liked to see him because his tape was pretty good this year. I mean, I don't see the difference between him and Mac Jones. If you say Mac Jones, you know, or Kyle Trask just had a bunch of playmakers, I mean, you could say the same thing for Mac. And he actually has an NFL, like, first-round arm, too. That's the thing. Yes, he has an NFL first-round arm where he could, like, throw off his – like, he could throw off balance and still throw a rope. You know what I mean? Like, it's – you know, so he can't move either. So it's kind of like these days, like if you can't move with how crappy these tackles are, especially if you get drafted high or unless you get drafted to like,
you're not wrong about those tackles, man. It's really like the tackle position. There's probably going to be four that go in the first round and I'm not impressed with 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. Well, there's Sewell.
Penei Sewell is like the only guy for me.
Well, he's one. Rashawn Slater,
he's the only one that impresses me.
Rashawn Slater has been rated.
Are you impressed with Slater?
I haven't watched Slater yet. I'm gonna watch some of those guys this week.
But he jumped him.
Yeah.
They just jumped him over Sewell.
But they're doing that a lot with a lot of the opt outs. They're getting like Devontae Smith is a lot of people are. All of a sudden, Jamar Chase can't beat press for some reason, even though we all like, oh, Jamar Chase is the greatest wide receiver. And now, since he didn't play this year. Right. There's a lot of guys like that. A lot of the defensive tackles, too. They didn't play this year, especially in the Pac-12. A lot of guys in the Pac-12 did not play. And since they didn't play, people are like, it's like hurting those guys because there's more recency bias to it. You know what I mean? Especially like, it's even hurting somebody like Trey Lance. Like Zach Wilson jumping over Trey Lance is kind of the same kind of thing. Like, I don't think that would happen if Trey Lance
played. Zach is like the clear cut two right now. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't know how you could watch those four and put him two. I agree with you.
I
gotta feel something like it's more about pocket presence for me because I don't see the pocket presence to be, especially when he's that athletic. It's weird. I don't know. But the Senior Bowl quarterbacks, they are very underwhelming. Kellen Mond, I was just saying Kellen Mond was just intriguing because he has a cannon, and he had this crazy throw where he like threw it sideways and it still went 30 yards down the field over like the linebackers right before the safeties to get there. It was insane throw, but then he threw the stupidest throw the next throw, so it's like basically what my besides the top six quarterbacks, there's really not a lot there for anybody else, which is usual part of drafts. We don't see it. I don't remember the last time we've seen a fourth round pick besides Kirk Cousins be good. I mean, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, but that's like 2 in 10 years?
If that, I mean, you got Russell. That was the third round pick.
Yeah.
Other than those four names three names that have just been stated, like, no, like it doesn't happen anymore.
It does not happen.
It doesn't happen anymore.
At all. All right. So, yeah. So I don't want to get too much. I mean, Senior Bowl. It was just sort of with me. I don't want to talk about it too much. I was kind of mad that I watched the practices. I was like, man, at least I didn't miss this year. I mean, at least when I went, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen were there. Seriously. And then last year was like Herbert. You know, Herbert was there last year. Like, it was just bad. You know what I mean? I just watched the defensive tackles mostly. All right, so let's get to the big game, right? The big game. We got Bucks versus Chiefs, but how did we get there? Chiefs just went through and just pummeled the Bills.
Yes, they did.
Pummeled them, which I thought was going
to
happen.
Yes, they did. I have to admit, I lost my interest in watching football after the early game. So I can't tell you that I did a good job of really paying attention to what was going on at the quarterback position in the late game. What I did see Patrick Mahomes, just the way that he can step up in a pocket, and even with a linebacker like grabbing at his knees, and he can still get the ball out on a dig route, you know, 12 yards downfield. The kid's got such a live arm. I really hope that that can continue for him for a long time, so that we can really get to enjoy Patrick Mahomes for many years.
Yeah, that's true.
But what he's doing now is special.
You know me. I hate the guy. I got a love hate relationship with him. I hate watching. Like, I love watching it be great, but I hate it too. It's like, oh my god, like, why are you on that team? Like, change your uniform so I can enjoy you. I just can't watch the Chiefs just ball out. Just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, it's just. It is just so deflating to watch. Like, oh my god, this dude's he doesn't play bad. Like, he hasn't had a bad game yet. Like, and when he did, he like makes up for it in the second half. Like, it's like a bad. If he has a bad half, you know, then he has a amazing second half, and then that's why teams are getting pummeled right now, because he's playing four good quarters. You know what I mean? Like, against the Bills, he did not have a bad quarter, so the Bills got pummeled.
No, basically, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And then Josh Allen decided he wanted to be 2019 Josh Allen again. That's basically what happened in this game. Josh Allen, he was like bailing pockets early. He was doing all the things that he was not doing, not checking down like he was all season. Like, everything just went away. Like, everything, he just went right back to how he was, and it's like took 50 yard sacks. He was, you know, threw interceptions. He was just erratic, you know. So it was interesting. I don't know if that was like the, I mean, hey, I think part of it was the Chiefs.
I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon. It's not happening.
Part of that was the Chiefs defense. They were confusing him a lot with, you know, the coverages and the coverages they got. And he's still a young guy, so, you know, maybe 2 years from now those coverages won't confuse him. But he still got that old kind of just like, you know, I'm Superman. I'm going to break 8 tackles, you know. And yeah, it works. It does work. But, like, you know, against good teams, sometimes you just have to. I always say this sometimes. Like, sometimes you just have to play quarterback. You can't just – it's so true. Like,
and that's the problem. That's the problem right now. That's the problem right now with these young guys, and they're so dynamic and they're great athletes, and they've relied on their athletic ability for so long that when it comes down to the fundamentals of the quarterback position, they don't have it. They don't know, like, the stuff that you rely on as a quarterback, they never developed because they never had to. They were beating everybody's butts growing up just by pure athletic ability, and they never had to develop or have anybody coach them on the fundamentals of what playing the quarterback position means. So it's, they've revolutionized the position, but at the same time, they've lost all the important things, or they never learned the important things to be able to manage the moment. So,
I mean, to be fair,
new breed.
To be fair, I mean, he did develop this year. He did develop a lot.
He had a good year. Yes, he did.
He did develop a lot.
I need to see some consistency at him because I'm not on his train. I'm not on his bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not gonna call him elite, right? But at least know or think that, I mean, he has a chance to be above average for a little bit. I think at least I'm not gonna jump on the elite train. I think that he has Stephon Diggs, and Diggs is in his prime. Like, Diggs is in his prime, and that's gonna help him for a long time too. I think that's important.
Absolutely,
it's gonna help him. Especially once them, I mean, the more they play together, the more they'll get a connection. And I think
it's nice to miss your spot when you're throwing the ball and the guy still gets it anyway.
Yeah.
I bet you there were many times when Josh Allen let the ball go and he went, ooh. And then Diggs came down and he's like, oh, all right. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I mean, that's what Stephon Diggs did all year. So I believe that they're still going to be around just because of that tandem, and I think that's going to help. It's going to help Josh. I mean, it's going to keep Josh at that above average level, I think, having Stephon Diggs, but I don't know if he's going to be for sure elite. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, for the foreseeable future. We'll see, though. We'll see with that. But Patrick Mahomes is elite.
Here's an interesting conversation that I heard it on one of the Talking Head shows. Ben Roethlisberger won 2 Super Bowls by the time he was 26, didn't he?
But they're different. They look different.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Ben was not nearly as dynamic as Patrick is at the beginning of his career. But I'll tell you what. We've seen it. It's happened in the NFL before. Somebody comes on, has a huge beginning of his career, and he's got another 10 years to go. And what happens in those next 10 years? So I'm very impressed with Patrick Mahomes. Do not get me wrong. I was hesitant to jump on the bandwagon. I am now there, but I would love to see it be something that's sustained. That's what I want to see. That's how I can crown him the GOAT in the future. But for anybody that's going to put the GOAT in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes now, it's like, what are you talking about? You can't go there yet.
It's different. It's different because, you know, we did a couple episodes. We went over Deshaun Watson's season, and I made that joke about Patrick Mahomes. There's 31 quarterbacks to have 13 or more starts, and you have just a net yards per attempt over 8. He's already did 3 times in 3 seasons, and the other guys who've done it 3 times are like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think he is going to.
Rodgers has done it 4 times.
Will the team? Career. Yes.
So I know what you mean.
Will the team around him slow down? I think so. Okay, so
absolutely. That's what we're talking about. There's no way they're going to keep that. There's that's too much money. They're not going to be able to keep everybody. It's absolutely not going to happen.
And he won't be that lucky either. Like Tom Brady's the only guy who's that lucky enough to keep winning and have the ball bounce in his favor every single time.
I mean, three interceptions in the second half. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And win. He's the only guy because the ball always bounces his way. So I don't think that's going to happen for Patrick Mahomes. I think his luck will run out. It might even run out this week because he's playing against Mr. Luck. I mean,
Hey, all I know is that the only person to prevent Patrick Mahomes from getting to a Super Bowl was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
The guy. He went into Kansas City and said, Patrick, you're not playing in the Super Bowl this year. I am.
Yeah, but Kansas City's defense was terrible that year.
So. I'm not going to get into any argument out of me.
They were terrible. And, I mean, they still should have won that game if D4 didn't jump off sides like an idiot. You know, so I don't know. But, like, you know, but the Bucks did go into Lambeau and they, you know, they had a really good first half. A really good first half, and then of course there was a fumble to the 2 yard line because it's Tom Brady, so Tom Brady's team gets a fumble to the 2 yard line. Tom Brady's team doesn't get pass interference calls, but his team gets theirs. You know, that was the most Tom Brady game I've watched in a while. That was like typical, like. Tom gets all the credit, even though he really didn't do anything. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers played better and tried to keep his team afloat against, you know, and he just, that pass was too much for his line. It was too much. He couldn't stay up. Like it was rough. I mean, when they got the ball back, he tried, man, he tried his hardest to get him back in that game. I give him credit for that. He just couldn't, there's too much too many third and longs late. For the Packers to put them in the position where they allowed them to guys just, you know, pin their ears back and attack the, you know, rush the passer. And especially with that line all beat up, you know, it just, they had to stay ahead of the chains, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, that was the first game that it was really obvious that Bakhtiari wasn't there. They'd done a good job in the other playoff games of it didn't seem like it was going to be a problem that we were missing our all-pro left tackle. But, man, Tampa, that defensive front really came at them. And there were just a few things that you're going down at the end of the first half to try and get some points on the board, and you see the shoulder pad of Alan Lazard basically come out of his jersey, and it's a turnover.
Yeah.
Interception. It's like, okay, they're not calling it. They're not calling it. And then you see the breakdown with the decision on the play call. And Kevin King is like, I got a white boy lining up against me. I don't got to worry about anything. And then he smoked him. Scotty Miller. Now Scotty Miller's sitting there going, I'm as fast as Tyreek Hill. And it's like, no, bro, you had a guy that literally looked at you and said, you're a little white boy and I have no respect for you. And then you smoked him over the top. I mean, I get it. You got underestimated and you made a fool of him. And then you're right. That fumble to start the second half. It was killer. And not only that, it knocked Aaron Jones out of the game.
Yeah.
He got lit up. He got lit up on that play. And that's, in my opinion, that's the last play that Aaron Jones is a Packer. I just don't see it. I don't see how they can put a contract together to keep him on the team. They offered him the fourth highest running back contract in the NFL, and he turned it down because it wasn't enough guaranteed money. So Aaron Jones, he's gone in my opinion. But now then you fast forward to three interceptions in the second half and 2 3 and outs right after him. That was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Then you got the decision to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand.
On the fourth down.
And it sounded like, you know, they were at the 8 yard line. Fourth and eight, they didn't like it. Fourth and five from the 5 yard line, it sounds like they would have gone for it. So if Rodgers would have ran on that third down play. He wouldn't have got to the end zone, in my opinion.
No, he wouldn't.
But he would have been inside the 5-yard line. So they would have gone for it then. Like
He saw Devontae, though. I mean, if he threw a better throw, Devontae catches that touchdown. If he threw a better throw, though. But it's across his body. It's tough.
It was a tough ball. He had two guys on his back. It was a tough ball.
Yeah,
the problem is, on first and goal, he smoked the ball to Devontae, and it went through his hands on that back shoulder.
Yeah.
So just so many opportunities for the Packers to take over, and they didn't do it the entire game. And then you get that defensive pass interference call where the ball was over his head. It wasn't even catchable. And he's just flailing around. Now that Kevin King grabbed him, saw the t-shirt under the jersey. It happened. Yeah. It definitely happened. But they didn't – now you're going to make the call all game long. You haven't made that call all game. Now you're going to do it right when it doesn't – like at the highest point of it mattering, you decided – the referees decided the game.
The That's luckiest – quarterback of all time. Tom Brady is a GOAT. I'll give him that, but he's also the luckiest quarterback of all time. There's so much luck that goes into winning football that for him to go to 10 Super Bowls is just so much luck. Like, he had the tuck rule. Well, yeah, fine. The tuck rule, was it the rule? Was it right? Yeah, but the reason why that happened is because it was under 2 minutes, so the NFL reviewed it. I don't think if that was before 2 minutes, Bill Belichick probably didn't even review that. He probably just assumes it's a fumble. If you watch America's Game, Tom Brady thought he blew the game. Laurie Malone thought he blew the game. That's luck. They got lucky. That's luck, Chris.
Did you see what the referee did too in this game?
Yeah.
He's back there, 20 yards behind the play. He's the back judge. He was the first guy to wave his arms incomplete. And then he changed his mind and said, nah, it's a penalty. What the heck? Oh. And then Rodgers doesn't get the ball back.
Oh.
That was it right there. He would have got the ball right back. Then they could have scored a touchdown and won it. And then LaFleur there's no blood on his hands. Aaron Rodgers got the ball back.
Yeah. Yes. Man, see, but my thing is with that though, yeah, you get the ball back, right? Even if you don't kick the field goal, but if you let's say you miss that, right? You go for it and you miss. I mean, the Bucks had the ball.
It's still a touchdown. Yeah, it's still a touchdown. You need a touchdown in both scenarios. You go for it, you don't get it. You need a touchdown. You kick the field goal, you still need a touchdown. So the scenario is the exact same with how you play it out. Everybody was talking about the analytics of it. The percentage of kicking the field goal was slightly higher than keeping the ball and going for it. But then you still need a 2-point conversion to hit if you don't. So I'm not upset about the decision. Do you take the ball out of the MVP? He's the MVP this season. You basically took the ball out of your best players, the best player in the league's hands to get some points on the board. And then you gave it to the one guy you don't give the ball back to. So I probably would not have gone with the analytics of it had I been put in that situation. I give Aaron Rodgers that one more chance. And worst case scenario, the ball's on the 8-yard line. And they gotta put something together to move the ball downfield.
Also, I would also have that communication with my quarterback too. Like, hey, we're not kicking field goal here. So let's go.
Yeah, Rodgers thought for sure it was 4-down territory. Him and LaFleur were not on the same page. The way that came down. LaFleur's still a young head coach. This is a good learning opportunity for him. Petten's gone. He didn't re-sign. He didn't sign a new contract. This was the last year of his deal. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens on the defensive side of the ball. Like I told you before, I want to see Preston Smith gone. I would love to see J.J. Watt come in. I really would. To shore up that defensive line. There's so many things that they need in the draft. Kevin King's way gone. He got abused. It was basically three big plays cost Kevin King his career in Green Bay.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady spent the entire game
throwing,
Where's 39? He went after Sullivan the entire game. Yeah. That was their game plan. Wherever 39 is, that's where the ball's going. That's what he did the entire game.
100%.
So yeah, my My heart hurts. It's broken. And once again, you were talking about the Packers always getting all the calls earlier in the season. Them and are one of the teams that always get the calls. But you know what, Marcus? This is the second time that a quarterback has thrown three interceptions in the second half of an NFC championship game, and they've won. Do you know who the last one was?
Who's that?
Russell Wilson, 2014, against the Green Bay Packers. So my sports teams in the state of Wisconsin since 2010 are 1-9 when they're playing in the game before the World Series, the NBA Championship Finals, the NFL Super Bowl. So the game before the game,
we're with a bunch of MVPs.
We're 1-9, and I've got three MVPs in Milwaukee and Green Bay right now. And we're 1-9 since 2010. 1-9. So my
I was like, damn, y'all got MVPs in every sport too.
Yeah. 1-9 since 2010. So this is it pains me to be a sports fan, Mark.
It's all right, man. It's all right, man. So it's the Super Bowl. What do you think, Chris? What do you think about this matchup? Like, how are you feeling? You know, my personal opinion, I think the NFC is not very good and they're about to get pounced.
I want to agree with you so bad, Marcus. I really do. I really want to agree with you. But it's Tom Brady.
I know, but he needs a pouncing.
Marcus, every time that we pick against Tom Brady, it doesn't go well.
It has to. I don't see them stopping the Chiefs. I the way that they play, yeah. Will they be able to rush the passer? Sure. Are they going to sack Mahomes a couple times? Sure. But the Chiefs defense is good enough to stop the Tampa Bay deep offense. So that's the key. So like if the Bucs offense going to get some stops? Sure, they might get some stops. But are they going to get enough stops? Do they have somebody to guard Tyreek Hill? Obviously they don't, cuz he went for 200 yards on him in the first half. They're going to be trying to stop him. Then who's going to stop Kelce? Is Devontae David? Oh, come on. I mean, I love Devontae, but
bro. Devin White can hang with him.
No, they're saying David's is guarding him. Not White.
They're probably gonna have
White spy Patrick Mahomes. I bet that's and have him like try to roam, but that's not gonna work either because I just think they're gonna get pummeled, and I feel like and you know I watched the mic'd up of the Chiefs against the Bills, and just the attitude of that team right now, the attitude of the Bucks team, right. And the attitude of the Chiefs team is like, I mean, the Chiefs, they want to go back to back. There's something tells me that this game is going to, like, and I'm sure Tom Brady's going to hang. He's going to hang, but it's going to be like, you know, 38-28. But it's just not going to be as close as we think. That's what I think. I think I'm going to give a 38-28.
Marcus, we're going to experience something that's never happened before in a Super Bowl.
What is that?
It's a home game for one of these football teams.
Okay.
And they're going to have the most fans in a stadium than they've had anywhere in the league this year.
Yeah.
And it's Florida, where they do not care about COVID. So this is going to be an actual road game for the Kansas City Chiefs. That Vita Vea coming back, he played such a factor in the NFC Championship game. They're not going to be able to run the football. It's not going to happen. Kansas City will not be able to run the ball.
Okay.
So it's going to be a passing bonanza on both sides of the ball. I think that Tampa will be able to be more balanced than Kansas City will.
Yeah.
Marcus, I can't do it.
You can't do it.
I can't pick against Tom Brady. I can't do it. It's his 10th Super Bowl. He's won 6. This would really just kind of stick it in the eye of Bill Belichick more than anything else. Like, being at the Super Bowl is one thing. But winning the Super Bowl with a new team, with Arians, who is just running his gums about, well, New England wouldn't let Tom do this. New England wouldn't let Tom do that. Like, it's like, what are you talking about? They won six Super Bowls.
Bruce is basically telling you, if I had Tom Brady as a coach for 6 years, I'd win six Super Bowls too. That's what Arians is basically
saying. That's exactly what he's saying.
I mean, I don't know. I think Arians is you know, I think Arians' offense is outdated, but if somebody's going to kill it with your offense, I mean, you know, Byron Leftwich is a good play caller too, because it was funny, you know, a lot that play you talked about with Scotty Miller, Leftwich drew that up on the sidelines. He told, okay, we got the ball back. You know, they're going to play single high. We're going to take a couple shots here. We're going to take some shots. We're going to go with this play right here. He's a good play caller, bro. He's running that offense. It's not Bruce Arians. It's Byron Leftwich. And I think he should get some more props too, but I think Arians is a quarterback. He's not like the best offensive mind, but I think he understands the mind and the mental aspect of a quarterback to have him prepared for the week. Like, he's not going to treat a quarterback like he treats every other player. Like, he's not going to.
Who's he had his entire career? He's had Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. He's had Andrew Luck. Was he there when Peyton was there?
Yeah. He was.
He had Peyton Manning. He had Carson Palmer. Like, the guys had nothing but amazing quarterbacks his entire coaching career.
So, I know. And then he made Tim Couch look good, and with the Browns, when the Browns made the playoffs.
And then you got Todd Bowles on the other end. The guy's just a defensive mastermind. I can't do it. I'm not picking against Tampa. I'm right now. You're gonna hear it. I'm gonna piss off a lot of people, because there's some people that I'm gonna be hanging out with this next weekend. They're not gonna like my answer right now. And I'm gonna stay very quiet during the Super Bowl. But I'm going with Tampa. I'm taking Tampa.
I don't see it. I just think I don't.
I'm going with the
NFC is not very good. I think the only reason the Bucks are even there is because the NFC is not very good, and the Packers just dropped the ball. They let Tom Brady get lucky and slip past them, and the Saints did the same thing too. The Saints dropped the ball. They're down 20-13 to that team. They just dropped the ball and they let the Bucks slip past them. I don't think the Bucks are that good.
Yeah, I don't. They have not. They haven't won a game that made me be like, "You are the reason that you are the determining." There. Like,
I mean, they're there because of Tom Brady, basically. I feel like.
Yeah, I'm not betting against them.
And they're about to get pummeled by the better team. The Chiefs are the better team, though.
I would love to see that. I'm not disagreeing with you. Marcus, this hurts me. This hurts me so much.
The Chiefs are the better team. And I want the Bucks to win too, because, you know, I want Arians to get his, but the Bills are better than the Bucks. Let's just say that.
I agree with you.
The Bills are way better than the Bucks. Like, if the Bills were playing the Bucks, I would probably go Bills still, because I think the AFC is just – they're just up another level over the NFC this year. So, and they – Chris, they
crushed them. Yeah, they crushed them. They beat the brakes off them. No, you're not wrong.
It was an onslaught. Like, because I was watching the mic'd up the other day too, and you should have heard the Bills, man, on the sideline. Like, they were like, they weren't even mad about it, because it's like, they're talking about Tyree. He's like, man, that's the fastest man I've ever seen on the football field. He's like, he's fast, bro. Like, they're just, it's the Chiefs, man. You just take that out. I hate to say it. You know, I hate to do that, because, you know, I'm a Chiefs. I hate the Chiefs. They're just the best team in the football, and I feel like if the Bucks beat them, that's an upset. I think it's a big upset.
Oh, absolutely.
And it'd be a bigger upset if it wasn't Tom Brady. I think it's because it's Tom Brady. People are just
they wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for Tom. So yeah, that's true. This roster would not have been put together the way that it was. Tom Brady is the reason the Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl. This is what they had that offseason for. This is the reason why they did what they did.
Yeah,
and they got there.
Sure, man. All right, Chris. Super Bowl is here. You know, you check us out this week. What are we doing this week, Chris?
Oh yeah, that's a good time. Good time to plug it here. We are we're going to be joining Andy's Pizza. on a Simply Live series. Simply Live is the organization putting it together. We are going to be on with Andy's Pizza. They're doing a little Super Bowl make your own pizza virtual event. And while the pizza's in the oven, we're going to talk a little football, a little Super Bowl to the crowd that's going to be joining.
Exactly. So check us out on Thursday.
That's coming on Thursday.
And that is 12:30 Eastern time, right, Chris?
12:30 Eastern Standard Time, yes, sir.
Perfect. Yeah, check us out then. And then, you know, like I said, you know, make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes, download on Spotify, you know, A Little Pocket Awareness. You know, find us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Same thing on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness, at the Mark John NFL. For me on Twitter, at King Manelos. All right, for Chris on Twitter. So we'll see you guys next week.